All right, if you could take roll for us, please.
Steve Wernke. Brian Rowell.
Here.
Andrew Benson.
Here.
Troy Richard.
Here.
John Merrill.
Here.
Paul Adair.
Here.
Daryl North.
Here.
Carl Kohler.
Here.
Peter Flint. Roberta Marshall.
Here.
And Jeff Pettis.
Present.
Thank you. First item on the agenda tonight, if there's anybody in the public tonight that wants to give any information to the Planning Commission that is not on tonight's agenda, feel free to step to the podium and make your comments. Seeing none, we will do away with that. The next item is the approval of minutes from May 4. Any changes, deletions, corrections?
With the exception that I was present at that meeting, I would move to approve.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Those in favor of the motion say yes.
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 Those opposed say no.
I'm sorry, I couldn't see who the second was. Oh, sorry.
Chair votes yes.
So, John.
Next item on the agenda is the Bates Max subdivision, PL-16-44. Petitioner, please give us your presentation. Yeah. You know that, Jake.
My name's James Henry with Jake's Drafting Service. I'm here to represent Vance Bates and Deb Mack on a proposed subdivision of their lot in Steamboat 2. Vance and Deb have a lot that's very unique to Steamboat 2. It has a double frontage, and it's very large. Very capable of being split into two lots, we hope, meeting all of the criteria. This lot would be considered an infill lot. There's very little infrastructure that would need to be done to develop this lot. Currently, there is a sewer line on one property line. There's a water line on the other. So there's no service line extensions. All we have is taps. The rest of the utilities are there. The southern half of their lot has a driveway on it. It's fenced and it has a gate. The house, the part that makes this lot unique is the house sits on the northern half of the lot. So we can actually subdivide it, meet all the setback requirements, easements and such, and still create two lots out of this. We spent about 7 or 8 months getting an approval from the water district because of the bankruptcy with Steamboat 2 Metro. Had to go back and forth between the city, and I believe there were about 8 meetings in total to get that through. But we do have approval and a letter from Steamboat 2 Metro that they will provide sewer and water services to the lot. There was a lot of discussion back and forth with Steamboat Metro because the first thing they thought was that all 318 lots in their district would be able to do the same thing. And we actually explained to them and showed them that there were only 3 lots of all the 318 lots there that are within the district. There were only 3 lots that could possibly do this. Don't remember the name of it. There's one lot on the eastern side of the subdivision that is big enough to subdivide, but because of the placement of the house, they would be required to do a flag lot. And I pointed out to the Metro District that flag lots would not pass the County Planning Commission. One of the lots across the street from Vance's, Ben Tattershall's, is also big enough to subdivide. But because of the placement of his house, you'd actually have to rip the house, tear the house down, and subdivide the lot to do anything with it. So there really, Vance has the only lot in the entire subdivision that this would be capable of doing in its present condition. There are a couple of lots that could happen if they tore the house down and started from scratch, but that is not a economically feasible thing to do with a house that has any kind of value to it at all. So we're proposing to do this subdivision. Very little impact to the county, very little impact to the neighbors. No utility extensions, no road improvements. One more house in the total of lots that are in Steamboat 2 are not going to make a whole lot of difference. No traffic impacts. Seems to meet all the requirements that the county has thrown out in front of us. It seems to meet everything that they're proposing. There are two issues that we would potentially like to discuss. One is the creation of the lot line between these two lots. They're asking for a utility easement, and it seems to me like it was a really stupid thing to put a utility easement where it's not needed. We have been instructed to go to the utility companies and ask, and we will do that before the next meeting. But it doesn't seem like it's a real sensible thing to put a utility easement between the two lots. The other issue that came up the other day is an open space dedication. The subdivision dedicated the required open space, but there is a little caveat to the county code that requires us to dedicate 5% open space because it is a further subdivision. There is a provision for a fee in lieu. We have not come up with a fee in lieu figure yet, but we have a potential to actually donate the extra 5% open space along a property line and still be above the minimum requirements for the lot size in that zone district. At that point, I think I'd just open it up to questions.
Thanks, Jake. Planning Commission, have any questions for the petitioner?
Yeah, are there, so without the utility easement, there's no buildable lot, no foreseeable building behind it or that's going to access through this utility easement?
The existing lot line, and if you'd like, I can show you a plat of it. I don't know if you've seen it, and it's in your packet, I believe. The sewer and water run down the exterior lot lines. The utility pedals still sit on the right-of-way side, so there's no need for a utility easement there.
It wouldn't be accessing anybody else's property.
It wouldn't. Well, that would be the only thing, would be to access somebody else's property, which is highly unlikely because everything around here is developed.
Right, no new structures on the neighboring properties, or they've already built up.
And if I may, I believe if this lot is subdivided, this will be the only unbuilt lot in Steamboat 2. So it wouldn't be like we need a utility easement there, Brian.
Okay.
Other questions? Thanks, Jake. Ellen.
So Jake did a very good job in covering all of the pertinent information. I really don't have too much to add, but I still would like to make some comments. So this is the sketch phase. The Planning Commission will be making a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners on this step in the process, and if the commissioners approve it, then they requested that the preliminary and final be combined into one, which we have done before, and we've agreed to do that with this one. But the purpose of the sketch subdivision is to determine compliance with the master plan, the sub-area plans, and to identify any glaring issues that may preclude a development on this site. So getting into the details and the specifics of the zoning and subdivision regulations will really be handled at the preliminary and final stages. Jake did talk to me about the requirement for utilities and along the lot line and with the fee in lieu. And staff's opinion that the fee in lieu is better addressed at the preliminary stage instead of the sketch phase. And then as far as the utility easement goes, there is condition number 7 on page 7 of your staff packet that requires all utility easements to be shown along all of the lot lines and that they be dedicated appropriately. Staff would suggest adding a phrase to the end of that statement that basically says, unless otherwise approved through the preliminary and final application. So that would give the applicant an opportunity to consult with the utility companies, and it allows some flexibility for that requirement. So if Planning Commission feels that it's appropriate, then you can add that to that condition.
Condition what, Alice?
Seven.
Thank you.
And then one other change would be to number three. It's very minor. It says the permit's approval shall not be issued until all fees have been paid in full. This is not a permit, so you can strike that from condition number three. And so the main question that Planning Commission is tasked with answering tonight is this application in compliance with the Rock County Master Plan, Steamboat Springs Area Community Plan, and the West Steamboat Springs Area Plan? That's all I have for now.
Thanks, Alan. Questions for staff? Anybody? Jake, I have a question. On the schedule, existing conditions, there's a heavy dark black line, which is not the proposed lot line. So my question is what does that line signify, this heavy dirt?
I have no idea.
You know, I have no idea what that is. I can find out.
Well,
but I don't think it means anything.
I think it's clear that the lot line is just a straight northeast, southwest.
I think what that probably is a break line, which doesn't mean much of anything except for the topotron.
Yeah.
But it happened to show up because it's a very heavy line.
Cool.
One that we're not supposed to plot. Okay.
Confusing me. That's what it is. Thank you.
Because those are your points in the survey that are showing as well.
Those are topographic points, and that's why I'm thinking it's called a rake line. It shouldn't have been shown. It doesn't mean much of anything except for the survey.
I was going to say it was on the depth point layer, maybe. Something that should print but not.
It is kind of like a depth point. But it's not. That's not what it is. But it's just a break line.
Thank
we
you.
Usually print anything that's not supposed to be shown in a very heavy line, so that we know that it's not supposed to be shown.
Anybody else got a question?
Just about the utility. So in the next phase, you'll come back with referrals, saying whether YEA needs it or somebody needs it for some reason.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to put a utility easement there when all of the utilities are already in the ground.
But no one's said at this point that they require it.
It's a county requirement.
Right, but okay.
And because they have a patio in that area, we just as soon not have somebody coming through with a backhoe to put a cable TV line into somebody three lots down. Which is possible.
Well, they would have to, I guess they could come in down the side and then they could go across, but it's landlocked. There's a lot on each side that doesn't have an easement that stretches across in those directions.
Right.
They would be doing some weird jogging. I agree, it doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense.
If you've ever dealt with utility companies, they like easements.
Sure. Easements are great, but this one I'd have to agree appears to be.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Unnecessary, and we can address that at a later time. I feel.
And maybe this is a question for Alan. With the fee in lieu This is something that hasn't been determined yet at all?
I mean, we did come up with a number for the Fox Grove subdivision up on Fishery Falls and Huckleberry Lane, and but you know, we haven't determined one for this area. I would imagine it would be very similar to that.
Just our discussion typically tends along the line of whether we require the fee or not. We really tend to not get in the business of saying what that fee should be. It's an agreement that's usually reached beyond us. And
well,
I'm somewhat comfortable with that.
So the regulations say up to 5% of the total value of the two developed lots. But then there is a provision that if the applicant doesn't agree with that or think it should be less, then they can do their own study and provide their own numbers that would prove that 5% is overkill and not necessary.
But from a timing perspective, we're not dealing with that tonight, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
You could choose.
Well,
we can do what we'd like to do.
Yeah.
So I think we've got the issues out.
I have one.
Go ahead, Roberta.
One quick question. This might be my naivete. There's a rectangle on the plan that's at the intersection of the 15-foot wide easement and the 10-foot wide easement. I'm just curious.
Storage shed.
Is that supposed to be? Oh, is it shed or
it's
something?
It's a little shed.
It's existing. Okay, thank you.
So, for me, I would like to go around and I'm leaning towards recommendation of waiving the fee in lieu or the dedication of open space on this petition, but we'll hear more. 5F, the engineered drainage plan, which results in no net increase. I think that's a tremendous burden on this project.
I'm sorry, where are you?
5F.
5F?
General condition 5F.
F, okay.
And the last item I have is the what we've been discussing is internal easements along the new property line. So those are my issues I'd like to go around about, starting with Mr. Norris. And if you have others, please add them.
I didn't have any others. I would agree with that. That's the engineer drain, it's already drained over there.
On a flat lot.
On a flat lot.
1.3% slope. That's nothing right. Roberta.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I also agree with your recommendation to waive the 5% fee for a subdivision that's existing.
Carl?
I generally agree. I guess I just wonder about the consistency of the waiver of the fee in lieu. Just trying to think of a different circumstance where it might not be appropriate to waive it. I guess we're saying it's already been addressed when the original subdivision was platted. Just want to think about that a little bit. I don't have a lot of heartburn for this particular application. It's just the consistency if it should come up again.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Well, and that was mine too, because that fire was probably included when the subdivision was originally made, right? So this is almost a subdivision within a subdivision.
When this came, the Steamboat 2 was platted in 1971. The county had a very, very light set of subdivision regulations at that time. And so I don't know if it was part of that. I would be shocked if it was.
And, well, I do. I feel like it does abide by the master plan, the Steamboat Springs Area Community Plan, and the Steamboat. One thing I wanted to mention, that all that's listed here, like the 3.3A, 3.3B, 3.3D, 4.3A in particular, those. On the master plan where it says, and this is not to do necessarily with this, but I'm going to talk about it because it's an issue that is near and dear to me, is that in 11.3G, the pedestrian bike system, which connects retail areas, public facilities, recreation areas, and neighborhoods, I think the county needs to connect that whole area with the bike path. And this isn't just about that, but I think the county should abide by their own master plan. And when we went to the state planning conference before, I sat in one on pedestrian traffic, and they really stress how any outlying subdivision within 3 miles of your municipality should be connected with a bike path. And I think the county's coming up short on that, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with yours, but I think we should step up and connect that area with a bike path. I think it abides by all our rules and regulations, so I'm in favor of it.
John?
I agree that this seems to be in compliance with the master plan, the sub-area plan. I would be more concerned about waiving the fee in lieu on an issue of precedent, as Commissioner Kohler said, that we, as I would note, at our last general workshop, we were cautioned not to worry about precedent, but just to address the facts of the petition in front of us. So given that, I would also be in favor of waiving the fee in lieu.
Well,
I basically agree with everything that's been said so far, but I don't really have anything to add, except my view would be also in favor of waiving the 5% fee, given that this is established subdivision with over 300 units, and I think it, in a way, would be discriminatory to ask that fee for this particular case. The other things, I agree, and I think it fits in with our area plan, with the master plan, and there we are.
Thank you. Just to interrupt a minute, I'll go to public comment when we get done with this round table, just in case there's somebody who wants to make any comment on it. I kind of skipped over that. Andy.
In general, I feel too that it meets the applicable regulations and conforms with our master plans, area sub plans. In regards to fee in lieu, you know, with respect to the precedent conversation, though you're not taking the previous decisions into consideration, I still think we have to think of future considerations. As long as I've sat on this board, we've never waived the fee. It's usually been something that's been worked out and separate from us, and we've kept it in place. So I don't see any reason to change that unless, as a board, we feel that we should move that discussion forward sometime down the line and reassess or reevaluate or change that program slightly. I'd be willing to consider that. I think with the changes that are noted regarding lot lines and the change to number 3, I see no reason to not approve this or recommend approval.
Jeff?
So with the edits that staff has recommended, I would recommend the approval of the sketch subdivision plan. I think the discussion of the other stuff is a little premature, although I'm the new kid on the block. I understand that we can take things in the order that we choose to. Should we decide to discuss the fee in lieu, I would note that Section 3.5.2 of the subdivision regulations say the county shall require the dedication of land and or payment in lieu thereof for public sites such as blah, 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 blah. Such dedication shall be 5%. The developer shall have the option and sole discretion to accept the calculation or to perform studies that demonstrate the actual impact. I think the regulations are clear that it's a shall, not may, meaning that it's a mandatory requirement, and we should apply that uniformly. That said, my preference would be to defer discussion of the fee in lieu until the applicant and staff have had an opportunity to discuss that.
I had another comment regarding F, the engineered drainage plan. Again, although I don't think it's necessarily required for this one, and I would probably put forth that the existing plan shows no net increase as it's right now, and I would, not that I would remove that from the requirements, but I would wonder specifically what that requirement entails. Is a grading existing conditions plan that shows a 1.3 approximate slope, is that meet the condition of an engineered plan showing no net runoff? I can look at it professionally and say that there's no net runoff as it's proposed right now.
Can I make another comment?
Sure.
I think that is more, this is going to get developed. There is going to be a house, a driveway, possibly outdoor living spaces, patios. It's an increase in impervious surface.
But that happens at that time. They show their plans at the time that they do their, they show the house being developed and the grading plans for that and the engineering plans for that. But the subdivision of it, they're not showing any overlot grading. They're not showing any roads being constructed. So in this instance, are they showing the net change to the grading and drainage pattern?
I think it might be short-sighted to say that just because we're subdividing land and it's not showing any impervious surface that there will be no net increase. Using that argument, any subdivision that doesn't have a building shown on the plat has no net increase.
Mm-hmm. I can understand the argument.
But you're right, as written...
Brian.
Oh.
Brian, I haven't got to give my round table yet. Where I'm headed with this whole fee and the engineering and all that is I think this fits into the master plan, the West Steamboat Springs area plan, comp plan, whatever plans that were charged with making this thing fit. And when you're talking about an internal lot where there is no potential for any other development, I don't believe either side, up or down, I'm struggling to see why the government should sit here and burden a private landowner with these. I mean, they're good rules, they're good policies. I think we need them. I think we rely upon them when we're looking at things that abut, you know, different development or potential development land or things of that. But to sit here and require utility easements internally and engineered runoff and a fee in lieu, I think is not required in this specific case. So anyway, that's where I'm coming from on it. And we'll go along with whatever Planning Commission wants, but that was where I'm at. And I think under Jeff's reading of the regulations, I think it's fair to cite the shall as opposed to the maybe. But ours is a recommendation. So I don't look like we, as a recommending board, are making that call. Now, maybe there's an argument that says we're supposed to follow that road, but I look at it as making a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. Brian?
No, I was just saying Andy was making a good point, that as shown, until it comes into the building department with a plan and what the, you know, is an asphalt driveway, the size of the roofs, all that type of thing, but it is mitigatable, and, I mean, there can be... drainage can be directed within the owned property, that type of thing, and not causing runoff elsewhere. So I'm just saying Andy was making a good point.
Okay. Is there anybody in the public that wants to comment on this petition? If so, you can please step to the podium and give us your name and give us any comments that you might have.
You know what? I just have a neighboring lot, and I want to stay informed. I don't have any comments at this time.
Not good or bad, up or down or nothing? Okay. Thank you.
If I may make a comment.
You sure can.
Your drainage study is a very good thing. I don't go away from those very often. If I was building a Walmart and had, you know, 10 acres of asphalt, it's a very good thing. A residential lot is not going to contribute to the runoff. The study that's involved is about $10,000. We're doing one right now, and that's about what they cost. There needs to be a little point drawn at some point where they are feasible and just totally asinine to even think about doing them. And this would fall into that latter category. It just, there's nothing he could do here except pave the entire lot that would cause a tremendous amount of runoff on the lot. A paved driveway, an asphalt roof is going to cut the lot area down from the 10,000, 12,000 square feet it is right now to maybe 8,000 square feet. It just doesn't decrease the impervious area that much. Drainage studies are very important in a lot of cases, but this is not one of them.
Thanks, Jake. Andy.
Is it requiring a drainage study or a grading plan? To me, it seems like it's requiring a grading and drainage plan, which I sure think would not cost $10,000 to generate. A engineered grading and drainage report, now that could be something completely different. I'm reading that as a grading and drainage plan, which is a common practice. I don't, and again, the existing condition plan shows the condition of it being a flat site. I understand where Alan was coming from with that. I don't want to take things out or recommend taking things out and setting precedent for another developer to come and ask for these things to be removed. I would rather find a way to mitigate them as they exist. So I'd like a little more clarification on that F before excluding it. But I'll tell you right now, excluding F and excluding the easement wouldn't cause me to vote no against this or recommend no.
Alan, you got anything else to throw in there?
We did discuss F prior to the hearing, and it is pretty restrictive, so we did come up with some language that would loosen it a little bit, and that is engineered drainage plan which results in no net increase or a net negligible increase of runoff on the site. That doesn't preclude the requirement to do the study and provide the plan. But it does allow some flexibility so that, because really the only way to get no net increase is to retain it on site. And I would agree that that would probably be unreasonable in this situation.
Anything else from Planning Commission?
Yeah, I just might add, under the subdivision regulations, it's an either or. You can convey land or fee in lieu. But under 5.3.5.3, advance open space and public sites and alternatives, it's a mandatory requirement of one or the other, or a combination of the two. That's all I have.
And there was some discussion.
So your recommendation would be?
My recommendation would be that the applicant return to staff and come up with a recommendation or a plan satisfying one, the other, or both of section 3.5.3 that we can revisit when the applicant returns to us for the final plat.
Okay.
Troy?
Sure.
I remember some discussion about a possible dedication along the front right-of-way.
That side, isn't it?
I heard something incorrect about that. Public or open space?
Not that I know
on
of.
On the front of the lot?
I thought you had mentioned something during your presentation.
We have a plan that I have not presented to the owners yet that would dedicate the 5% adjacent to the existing open space from the next filing, but they would be contiguous. But again, we do not know what fee in lieu is. That's something that these guys determine. It kind of gets down to which is the lesser of the two evils.
In that vein, I would agree, Andy, with I think something that you said, which is, or somebody, that the developer initially already did make a payment. That said, the regulations being what they are, I believe that we have an obligation to follow them as written. It's within the discretion of the Board of County Commissioners to choose to abide by those or not. And certainly, we feel that these regulations are unfair as it pertains to this particular situation. It may be within our power to suggest an amendment that covers this particular scenario. But as written, I feel that they need to be enforced in some form or fashion. That's not to say perhaps that the entire 5% needs to be paid or dedicated, but I think that the applicant and staff can work out some sort of an agreement.
There's no other questions. Chair's ready for a motion.
I can't find my number.
The number?
Chair, make a motion to approve or recommend approval of the scheduled subdivision for the Bates Mac. Activity number PL 16-44, with the finding of facts as written, general conditions 1-2 as written, 3 as edited to remove permits, 4-6E as written, 7 with the recommended changes per staff.
That's the last one.
That's it.
So, how long do you send me the recommended changes per staff? One second.
There a second?
All second.
Who got it?
Brian.
we can have a discussion.
What is... what is the edit on number 7 that you were referring to?
So the final language would read, the final plat shall show utility easements along all lot lines, and such shall be dedicated appropriately unless otherwise approved in the preliminary final application.
Unless approved.
So we'll revisit that on the next go around.
Okay.
And I think we've had enough discussion on that our opinion has been duly noted.
Thank you for informing me. Your opinion.
Thank you, sir.
Those in favor of the motion say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed say no. Chair votes yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I can find an agenda.
Yeah, your point
is there? Is there already an assessment been done of the entire strip division in terms of this 5%? Is there already
so
the possibility
in fairness,
that this
5%
could
be
already
been
done?
Well,
no.
Maybe it was paid when the whole subdivision is done and then we doubled it almost.
Next item on the agenda.
You know what I mean?
Young's Peak Preserve.
So,
that's something the staff should know.
Right, and that's what we clarified.
We had a whole.
They don't know. Oh, here we go. 71.
Yeah. Which I think is true of Fish Creek Falls now. So old.
Yeah.
We've. Young's Peak Preserve is the next item on the agenda for a rezone from high density residential to mountain residential estates and a preliminary subdivision to create 8 lots. We received an email, staff received an email asking for a tabling of this petition to July 6th. Andy, motion?
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion regarding Young's Peak Preserve, preliminary subdivision and zone change, activity number PL 16-66.
Motion to table, setting the next hearing date for July 6th, if appropriate.
Second.
Sigh, second.
Second.
Paul. Those in favor of the motion say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed say no. Chair votes yes. Administrator's report.
All right, so the next meeting on June 15th will be canceled. We don't have any applications scheduled. The next date, July 6th, now will be scheduled the tabling for Jones v. Reserve, along with the follow-up to the water body setback discussion. And in that point, Borough, we don't have any applications formally scheduled, but I will say we have three applications that were received this week.
Five.
I take that back. There were three today.
Four today.
There you go. So five applications.
But most of them are, you got one variance, so you won't see that. Two or three of them are administrative decisions, so you won't see those either. So it's really staff is really taking the brunt of this.
Thank you.
But more than likely, the remainder applications that would be scheduled would most likely be the second meeting in July. The 20th, so July 20th would probably be the likely date that those applications would be scheduled.
So,
based on how applications seem to be coming in, I guess we can anticipate the next day after that to be scheduled too, but you never know.
So Young's Peak is the only one on the 6th?
That and water body setbacks, that follow-up discussion.
So at that, concerning water body setbacks, that will be a draft set of regulations that will be presented to get feedback from the Planning Commission. So that leads me into this flyer that was at your seat. It's a riparian workshop that's being put on by a group of federal agencies. Lynn Holliday, who is the chair of the YAMCO Watershed Committee, I can't remember exactly what the name of it is, she informed me of this and wanted staff to invite all the Planning Commission to attend. There were a couple of people that responded saying yes, so it was Paul, Steve, John, and Jeff. And I just want to reach out again to see if anybody would be interested in attending.
Yes, please. Can you give that date again?
Yeah.
It's July 25th and 26th.
Right. And Alan, the way that I read this is it's two full days, one in class and one out in the wild. Is that
right? I think so, yeah. But I will, and I know, Jeff, you would ask for a schedule for the events that are going to be taking place with this. I will try to get that and let everybody know so that you can probably hopefully plan around that a little bit better.
Can we confirm later? As we get closer to that date,
let me talk to Lynn to see if there's a deadline for registration. It didn't sound like it, but let me confirm that, and I'll let y'all know.
So that's a Tuesday.
Piggybacking on the fee and lieu discussion. We are in the process of reviewing those regulations and. You will be seeing a draft set of new family regulations. It hasn't been scheduled yet, but coming up soon.
Taking into consideration the type of discussion we just had?
It was more in response to the last application we have, Fox Grove. It was a six-lot subdivision up at the corner of Fish Creek Falls and Huckleberry Lane. There's a lot of, we want to define the process better than how it currently is defined, because it's kind of open to interpretation. arguably. So we're hoping to kind of rein that in and put more particulars and standards in place that are more easily understood, enforced, and complied with.
On the water body discussion, will we get the board's minutes?
Yes, you will.
In our packet?
Yes. And then I'm sure you heard about the board's decision concerning County Road 18C on Tuesday. It's been a hot topic. They decided to vacate the entire stretch of 18C. So we're trying to keep y'all up to date on board decisions that y'all make recommendations on.
Was there any discussion about what the Planning Commission's recommendation was during the board meeting?
From the public definitely mentioned that and brought it to their attention. Planning Commission, the minutes from that meeting were included in their packet, and when we create communication forms for board items, staff does touch on the highlights of the hearing and lets the board know what Planning Commission's decision was, and then that is reiterated during staff's comments during the hearing as well.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's all we have.
We're adjourned. You thirsty?
Yeah. Just letting Lisa know.
Do you know where the fire station is in South Round? You go around, you wrap around the lake, and you're heading up towards the townhomes.
Yeah.
Eagle's Nest is down low, the ones that face the lake, all the glass. You turn in front of there, and then go about a half mile past Wagon Wheel, and the fire station is there. Young's Peak access is just past the fire station. So it's kind of in that island between the road that goes to the base of the ski area, is one that wraps around.
What's the name of
You mean
this is the ski area?
I think it's just Stagecoach Mountain.
Okay.
Because
I know Young's Peak is the most prominent landmark, but I didn't think that was where.
Because it sits before it. It's lower and sits before the mountain. And kind of the roads go around it. It's kind of